Hello and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the local show that's all about the issues of aging, right here on KFBK for 21 years. Glad to have you with us in our new time slot, normally on in the morning, welcome 7 o'clock Sunday night. This will be our permanent home for a while, and looking forward to it, looking forward to the change. New people, new audience, not new to the show, not new to California, not new to Sacramento, not new to KFBK, just a new time slot. KFBK was generous enough to do this, and I'm glad to be here. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Many of you may have heard me already on other on this show before, different times. I actually started 20 years ago on KFBK at 4 o'clock in the morning in the old studio over by the fairgrounds, and have been doing this for in our 21 years now, 21st year. So thank you for joining me. The topic of the show is the issues of aging. I'll explain more about that in a minute. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself and this show. For those of you that are new, it's about what happens to us when we get older. How do we take care of family? How do we make wise decisions? You know, when I talk to an organization, I talk to any group. I talk to groups and organizations all the time. I'll come and talk to your group and organization for free. I was talking to a group the other day out in Lincoln Hills, and there were about 40, 45 people there. It was a singles group. Great group, by the way. Thank you for having me. And I asked the same question that I ask. This explains what this show is about. I ask the same question that I ask every group or organization that I when I'm talking to them. When I do workshops, which I do quite often. In fact, I have one coming up this Saturday, I have one coming up on the 9th of November, a couple Saturdays from now. And I ask the same question to every group. How many of you now know or have ever known anybody in a nursing home? So I'm asking that to you. How many of you now know or have ever known anybody in a nursing home? Raise your hand unless you're driving down a road, then to keep both hands on the wheel. But raise your hand. It's everybody. And when I talk to the group in Sunset, it is everybody. Everybody now has known or knows somebody in a nursing home. When I ask the second question of groups, which I ask to groups all the time, which is how many of you now know or have ever known three or more people in a nursing home? Half the room still raises their hands. But the dirty little secret is that even though I ask that question, the follow-up question gets almost no response. The first question is, how many of you now know or have ever known anybody in a nursing home? Everybody raises their hands. Second question is, how many of you are going into a nursing home? Nobody raises their hand. And then the follow-up statement to that is, what makes you so special? This show is about those issues. What happens when we get older? What happens when our loved one gets older? What happens when they can no longer stay independent? What happens when, you know, I wrote a book called Navigating Frailty. You come to one of my workshops, you can get one, or you can call, I'll tell you how else you can get one. And it was called Navigating Frailty. We struggled for a long time about the name. And it could have been, you know, how to take care of mom home, how do you pay for a nursing home, how do you pay for it? But it was Navigating Frailty. Because as we get older, we're going to lose independence. We're going to become more frail. And navigating that course is difficult. And that's what I have been doing for 35 years. And that's what this show has been dedicated to for over 20 years. Is how do we navigate frailty for ourselves, for a loved one, for somebody we care about, for somebody that we don't care about? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. Let me get some stuff out of the way first that I have to say. I have to say it every show. You'll get used to hearing it. I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney that knows what he's talking about. And let me tell you what, there are fewer and fewer of those when it comes to long-term care issues. Certainly when it comes to Medi-Cal issues. I have a California insurance license. Doesn't have anything to do with anything. I'm not currently selling insurance. I did a long time ago, but I still have a license, so I have to tell you. I keep the license so I get the literature in the mail so I know what my clients are facing and what kind of scams are out there and what kind of good products are out there and stuff like that, even though I don't sell it. I have a California legal document assistant license. Most of you have never heard of that. Most people have never heard of that. Most attorneys have never heard of that. That allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. So yes, I can prepare trust. Yes, I can prepare powers of attorney. Yes, I can prepare all that stuff. I am licensed to do so at your request. I am not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I really don't want to give securities advice. And I don't know why anybody would want to. I have things I could say about securities, but I'm not going to. What else? I don't know. And everything I talk, I'm not a CPA. And everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should never be taken as any form of legal, tax, or financial advice. Why do I do what I do? If you go to my Facebook page, and I suggest you go to my Facebook page. I have a great website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com. You can go to my Facebook page. My Facebook page is, just go to Facebook/assetsandaging, and you'll find a why I do what I do there, but I want to summarize it a little bit. If you haven't been to my Facebook page, you should go. I do Facebook live videos every 2 weeks, twice a week, at least, sometimes three times a week. Every time something new comes up, I do one, or a new article that's of interest. My Facebook page is chock full, and my website is chock full of information. If you go to my website and you become a member, you get access to like 25 videos, blogs, information, special events, all kinds of stuff. If you really want to be on the cutting edge of long-term care, you know, this has been California's leading voice on the issues of aging now for 35 years. Certainly the longest running program now in Northern California on the issues of aging. Nobody's been doing this longer than I've been doing this. But let me tell you why I do what I do, and it'll help, hopefully will help you understand it. And then I want to talk about some other stuff that I think it is important and you'll like to hear about. We're going to talk about VA a little bit. We're going to talk about Medi-Cal a little bit. We're going to talk about nursing homes. We're going to talk about assisted living. We're going to talk about staying independent. The goal is not to stay at home, by the way, folks. The goal should never be to stay at home. The goal should be to stay independent. The single most people in my life who have no independence are people living at home. They're living at home alone. They don't eat well. They don't clean themselves well. They don't see anybody. A study done in England recently showed that on any given day, 225,000 seniors have not talked physically to a human being in a week. Not actually face-to-face, seen and talked to a human being. Living at home most of the time is by far not the best idea. It's the most expensive if you need care. Also, not the best idea. We'll talk about that more. We're going to talk about lots of stuff over here over the upcoming weeks. And if you go to my website, especially if you become a member, you can listen to my archived radio shows. I do a podcast every Wednesday live on my webpage. So why do I do what I do? When I first started doing Medi-Cal a long time ago, I've done over 1,500 Medi-Cal cases, maybe 2,000 long-term care cases. I've been doing this a long time, in-home care cases, PACE cases, Medi-Cal cases. And when we first started doing this, we used to have to go meet with the worker, the eligibility worker, face-to-face. You don't have to do that anymore. You still have the right to do that if you want to. I haven't exercised that right in years because we have great workers in Sacramento County. We don't have to do that. And by the way, I can do Medi-Cal cases anywhere in California. And so I went to the Medi-Cal office. It used to be down across from the coroner's office. I don't know if that meant anything in particular, but it used to be down across from the coroner's office. So I was sitting there waiting for my worker to come out, and a little old lady came and sat down next to me. Probably 80 years old. I was much younger then. I was probably in my 50s, or maybe 40s even. But because I've been doing this a long time. And I sat there and I was looking at her paperwork. She was shuffling through her paperwork. And she had the same paperwork I had, and she was getting ready to go into an eligibility interview. The difference was none of her paperwork was filled out. It was all blank. And the average Medi-Cal application, you can easily have 40 to 50 pages of stuff. Easily. The Medi-Cal application right now is, what, 34 pages long? So we were sitting there, and I'm looking at her, and finally she started to cry. You know, not a big loud cry, but just a soft cry. And I reached over, and I touched her arm, and I said, "Ma'am, can I help you? Is there something I can do to help?" And she looked at me, and she looked at the paperwork, and she said, "Do you know what these are? Do you know how to fill them out?" And of course I did. I already had mine filled out for my appointment. Well, before I had a chance to answer, my worker came out, and I had to go with my worker, and I said, "If you're still here when I come back out, I'll help you." And I went into my worker, and I was there for about 45 minutes and presented all my Medi-Cal stuff for whatever the case was. And when I went back out, she was gone. And to this day, I don't know what happened to her, but my guess is this. Either she went into the worker and was told, and the appointment was canceled because none of her paperwork was filled out, or she started crying more and just realized that this was all hopeless and went home. In either case, I can almost guarantee you she was denied Medi-Cal benefits. She was there for her husband, and those benefits would have been denied for her husband. And she wound up paying the bill for the nursing home when she didn't have to. And why I do what I do is I am still confronted with people who have been told 1,000 times, "You can't do this, you have to spend down, you can't keep any money, you can only have $2,000, they're going to take your house away, what else can I throw in there, I don't know. They're going to put a lien on your house, they're going to take all your money away, you have to cash in your IRA, you have to cash in your pension, you have to, whatever it is." I hear it all, and all of its faults. I just did my last podcast was on, was it my podcast? Oh, I did a Facebook Live. If you get a chance, go to my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook/assets and aging. It's a good webpage. It's a good Facebook page, folks. It's sharing information about stuff. We don't allow bad stuff. And go to my last Facebook Live podcast, which was called, not podcast, Facebook Live video that was called Job's Advisors. And I'm going to tell you here quickly what Job's Advisors was about. In the book of Job in the Old Testament, all kinds of bad things are happening to Job. People dying, frogs, you know, there's boils, there's all kinds of bad things. Bad things are happening to Job. And Job has three advisors, and his advisors keep saying, "Job, if you'd only do this, you wouldn't have a problem. Job, if you'd only do this, you wouldn't have a problem." And all through the book of Job, his three advisors are giving him advice. When you get to the end of the book of Job, you find out the three advisors had one thing in common, and that is all the advice was wrong. And Medi-Cal is much like that. Long-term care is much like that. I go through websites regularly. I have other people checking them for me. I went through the other day. I have a Google alert for Medi-Cal. And when Medi-Cal is in an article somewhere, it pops up on my computer, and I look at it. And then a lot of times it'll be websites or pages, and I go look at it. And almost always the information or a portion of the information being given is wrong. It could be attorneys. It could be Medi-Cal experts. It could be all kinds of places. But it's quite wrong. I've been doing this for a long time. I know where to find the information, and I know what information is correct. I've been doing this for a long time. Several years ago, Medi-Cal tried to come out with new regulations, and they wouldn't tell anybody what the regulations were. And everybody was really frustrated because there was no new regulations. So I filed a Freedom of Information Act that got all those regulations released to everybody in California. And it's never about the rules. The rules you can use, it's always about the strategies that you're going to employ to use the rules to your advantage. That's why I do what I do. Because people are still going to nursing homes. It's still an expensive process. It's still $10,000 a month for a nursing home. Nursing homes have stopped taking people. That's another story we'll talk to on another day. If you don't understand the difference between observation and admission in a hospital, you're up a creek, or you could be up a creek. You better understand those two words, cold turkey. You better understand how they work when it comes to rehab and nursing homes. It could wind up costing you tens of thousands of dollars not understanding what rehab and admission mean. And if you go to my website, there's videos on all of that if you're a member. Blogs on that if you're a member. I have some Facebook Lives on those issues if you go to my Facebook page. You need to understand how nursing homes work. You need to understand the difference between nursing homes, assisted living, independent living, and memory care. I hear memory care people call memory care all the time a nursing home. It's not. It's assisted living. Memory care is assisted living and therefore is not paid for by Medi-Cal. Memory care is $8,000 to $10,000 a month. You're going to pay for it. There's independent living. There's boarding care. There's RCFEs, residential care facilities for the elderly. There's CCRCs, continuing care retirement communities. There's all this kind of stuff that you now have to understand because quite often long-term care doesn't give us a lot of warning. Sometimes it bites quickly. Sometimes it gives us a lot of warning and we don't pay attention. For instance, from diagnosis of Alzheimer's, till death, and Alzheimer's is a terminal disease, from diagnosis to Alzheimer's till death is 8 years. Not onset. Diagnosis to death is an average of 8 years. That's a long time to be sick, folks. That's a long time to have somebody in the house who doesn't know what planet they live on. Now, in the beginning, before Dad had Alzheimer's, what did he have? Come on. Well, he didn't have Alzheimer's. What did he have? Oh, well, Bob, Dad just had a little memory problem. He just, you know. Oh, okay. How long did he have the little memory problem? Well, it got a little worse toward the end, but a couple years. And what kind of little memory problem was it? Well, it was, could he remember Mom's name? Oh, yeah, he knew who Mom was. Did he know the kids' names? Well, he knew most of them. What about the grandkids? Oh, no, I didn't have a clue who the grandkids were. You ever get lost? What do you mean? Well, if I took Dad 2 blocks away from home and I dropped him off on the corner, would he get lost? Could he find his way home? And they go, no, he couldn't find his way home. I once had a lady say to me in my office, I hear a lot of stuff in my office, folks, sitting there with her 2 daughters, and Dad wasn't there. Because Dad had a little memory problem. And I asked that last question. I said, if I took him 2 blocks away from home and dropped him off on the corner, would he find his way home? And she said, well, yeah, because that happened. And I looked at her and I went, you took your husband 2 blocks away from home and dropped him off on the corner? No. We were in Whole Foods and we were shopping and he walked out the front door and couldn't find me. And so we lived close to there and he walked home. I said, ma'am, do you understand what you just told me? And they looked at me and the daughters looked at me and everybody looked at me like I was a total idiot. How many of you understand what she just told me? What did she just tell me? Anybody guess? What she told me was her husband got lost in Whole Foods. He walked out the front door, didn't know where he was, didn't know to turn around and go back in the door, didn't know that his wife was inside, so he walked home because he happened to see some familiar landmarks, and he walked home. They had no idea where he went, but he'd gone home. He got lost in Whole Foods. One of the things I help people do is see the reality of where they are. Who in your family is failing? Let's be honest. Who in your family is failing? Who in your family is failing? I don't mean not doing well. I don't mean has the flu. I mean, who in your family is failing? Who is it in your family that's not doing well? Who is it in your family that can't remember their middle daughter's name? Or keeps asking her who that guy is with her who's been her husband of 20 years. Who in your family can't walk anymore? They can't go to the bathroom by themselves. They can't take care of their own personal hygiene. Who in your family is okay, not okay to leave at home alone at night? Who in your family has other debilitating disease like Parkinson's or MS or ALS? Or Lewy body, or name me something, heart disease, a disability from a stroke, or a fall, or broken hip, or, I don't know, just general frailty. Have you identified that person, and are you being realistic about where their future lies? I don't have the answer for you. You have to have the answer for you. Do you have the answer for you? I wanna finish with a quote from a book. Then we'll be back for the second half hour. But I wanna finish with this quote from this book if I can find it. It's from a book written by Dr. Atul Gawande called Being Mortal, B-E-I-N-G, Mortal, Being Mortal. There's a PBS series on it. I've read it probably five or six times. Got all kinds of marks in it. And one of the things, Dr. Gawande's a doctor, his wife's a doctor, his father's a doctor, his mother's a doctor. Dad starts to go south and four doctors can't figure out what to do. And the reason they can't figure out what to do, as he says, is because his doctors were trained to fix things. All of a sudden, we were confronted with something that wasn't fixable. And here's something he says in his book. There remains one problem with this way of living. Our reverence for independence takes no account of the reality of what happens in life. Sooner or later, independence will become impossible. Serious illness or infirmity will strike. It is as inevitable as sunset. And then a new question arises. If independence is what we live for, what do we do when it can no longer be sustained? What happens when that person you love begins to lose their ability to remain independent? Everybody confuses staying at home with independence. I can't tell you how many houses I've walked into and they are an immediate smell. Because there's someone older there who lives there who can't get to the bathroom on time. Well, Bob, I don't want to hear about it. I know, but see, it's icky stuff. And when you're dealing with an older, frail adult, one of the things you're going to learn to deal with or die is icky stuff. There's lots of icky stuff. The toll on the well spouse is enormous. We'll talk more about that. In one-third of the cases, the well spouse dies first. My mom had a stroke taking care of my dad. Had I not put my dad in a nursing home, she would have died from the second stroke. We put him in the nursing home. She lived another 15 years. Long-term care, frailty care, elder care is a serious issue. I'm going to talk more about it after the break. During the break, if you get a chance, go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Cruise around in there again, in there. You can sign up for my workshop on the 9th. You can also call me at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. If I've sparked an interest, You can come in and see me. The consultation is free. Or if you don't have access to the web, you can sign up for my workshop on the 9th. My seating is limited to 12 people. When I say 12 people, I'm not kidding. I mean 12 people. 800-999-8007 or go to assetsandaging.com. Also, go to Facebook, my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook/assetsandaging. Look at some of my Facebook live videos. Look at the articles that have been posted there in the comments. I think you'll find it interesting. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the myths of Medi-Cal and some of the myths that are floating around out there about long-term care. Don't go away. Give me a call during the break. We'll see you here in just a few seconds, right here on Assets and Aging at our new time. Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Your host, Bob Scrivano. Glad to have you here. Welcome to our new time, 7 o'clock Sunday evenings. Glad to have you here. My contact information, 800-999. Yes, even though you're in Sacramento, it's an 800 number. I've had that number for 35 years. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. What we're talking about here is long-term care, frailty planning, and realities. Generally speaking, people deteriorate in one of two ways, sometimes two ways, mentally or physically, sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's suddenly, sometimes it's over a long period of time. Sometimes we're all taken aback by it. Let's talk about the different levels of care a little bit because people get confused about it. The most common form of care is home care. It's also the most dangerous, it's the most isolating, and usually, in many cases, one of the worst. Well, Bob, what could be better than taking care of mom at home? Not taking care of mom at home. Because what does mom do all day? Mom sits in a chair, watches stupid TV shows. Her brain deteriorates. She doesn't eat well. She doesn't take her pills well. She doesn't take care of her personal hygiene needs. She only goes when she has to. And sometimes she can't get out of the chair, so she just goes there. She can't dress herself properly. She can't wash her clothes. So she's been in the same dirty clothes for 4 days. By the way, all of this happens on a regular basis, by the way. I'm not making this up. And some of you are saying, yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now to my mom. That's what's happening. Home is not always the best place. There's no socialization going on. Nobody is seeing mom. One of the things I ask people when they come into my office, I have a little questionnaire I have them fill out. And one of the questions is, when will you die? And people look at me and go, what are you? I don't know when I'm going to die. I know, but I have people all the time when I'm talking to them about trust or wills or those kinds of things, they'll say, well, I don't need it right now. I'm not going to die. And I ask them, when are you going to die? Because if you know when you're going to die, let's set up an appointment for the day before, actually 2 days before, because I need you to come back and sign it and get it notarized. So 2 days before the day you're going to die, that would be a good time to come in. The same thing is true with long-term care. When are you going to have a stroke? When are you going to have dementia? By the way, if you have dementia, you won't know you have dementia. The saddest day of my life, the days that I come home and cry, literally, sometimes we all cry at the table together, is when someone comes in and a family comes in and dad's there, could be mom, I'm just picking on dad, and dad is there and he just found out that he has Alzheimer's. Dad knows he has Alzheimer's. So dad knows what's going to happen to him. Trust me, those are really bad days. So we're going to get some care at home. We'll get care from mom. Okay. Round the clock, long-term care at home costs $14,000 a month and up. Oh, Bob, got a calculator? Wait a minute. I got a calculator. Just a second. Let me get a calculator. Okay, here we go. Calculator. All right. My grandson's been playing with this, sucking on it. I can tell. He's 9 months old, so it's allowed. So let's see. $30 an hour times 24 hours in a day times 30 equals $21,600 a month. A month. $21,600. Well, Bob, I can get care for $20 an hour. Okay. So 20 times 24 hours in a day times 30 is $14,400 a month. Home care is the most expensive form of care that there is. And that's assuming that the caregiver shows up every day. The caregiver doesn't show up drunk, doesn't show up with their boyfriend or girlfriend, doesn't show up stoned, doesn't not show up because they're hungover or they just decided they didn't want to work that day. There are lots of issues with caregivers. Remember, you may be paying an agency $30 an hour, but they're paying the caregiver minimum wage. So home care can be really expensive. Well, my granddaughter's going to stay with me. Really? Have you talked to your granddaughter about that? And she's okay with that. Well, she said she would do it. Yeah, she's got a good job and two kids. How's that going to work out? Does she still feel that way? What about your daughter? Well, yeah, my daughter's... Yeah. Let me see if I have the statistics here. Here it is. I recently did a workshop on that long-term care is a women's issue. Let me give you some stats. These are real stats. These are not make-believe stats. More than 70% of all nursing home residents in the United States are women. Almost two-thirds of all long-term care recipients are women. That's nursing homes, home care, assisted living, independent living, boarding cares, that kind of stuff. Among individuals 75 or older, women are 60% more likely to need some level of long-term care than men. At age 75, 70% of all women are looking across the kitchen table at an empty seat. Only 30% of men. What does that mean? Women, natural caregivers, their spouses have died. Men at age 75 are predominantly still looking across the table at their wife, who they see as their caregiver. 60% of all unpaid caregivers are women, usually daughters, granddaughters, that kind of stuff. Estimates indicate that some 20% of all working women in the United States are also family caregivers. The average cost to them economically is in the range of $125,000 a year. The average caregiver is a 49-year-old woman, which means she's taking care of her own children, maybe her grandchildren and her parents, and maybe her husband's parents. Two-thirds of all family members who are providing care to another family member are female. 57% of family member caregivers are still in the workforce. And so on, and so on, and so on. The reality of taking care of someone at home is not as simple, oh, well, my daughter will do it. My daughter will do it. And where did that idea come from? That idea came from a promise that never should have been made. And the promise that was, don't worry, Mom, we'll take care of you. Without ever understanding what we'll take care of you means. And because we made that promise, when it does happen, the 900-pound gorilla enters the scene. What's the 900-pound gorilla? Guilt. Now we can't get out of it because we feel guilty. We promised Mom. We promised our husband. We promised Grandma. We promised. The promise should be, by the way, I'll do the best job I can. I don't know how this is all going to turn out, but I'll do the best job that I can. Right now, I'm putting, a month ago, a husband went in the nursing home. We're getting him on Medi-Cal. 1 month later, the wife is now in a nursing home. We're getting her on Medi-Cal. Do you think, who's taking care of all that? Do you think all the promises went out the window when all this started happening? Yes, because they're now dealing with reality. Promises are easy to make. Living up to them when all this stuff really hits is a whole nother thing. So, home care, okay. If you can do it, fine. If you can't do it, fine. But it's a lot harder than you think, and it's not always the best, and it's not always the safest. Assisted living. Assisted living can happen in one of a couple places. One in what's called a boarding care looks just like any other house in town. They'll take up to six people, and the six people usually have dementia, and they sit there all day long, and they have a bedroom, and it's relatively cheap compared to home care. It's going to be $4,000 to $5,000 a month, maybe a little less than that if you get a two bedroom and a boarding care. A full blown assisted living looks like the big buildings on the corner, like Aegis, which I think, by the way, is the best assisted living facility in town, Aegis of Carmichael. I don't get any money for saying that. I just think they're the best. But it's a big building. Now, inside of Aegis are two levels of assisted living. One is regular assisted living. Go down, have a meal. They take care of you. You know, you have parties and you see everybody. And then the other part of assisted living in the building is what's now called memory care. And memory care is a locked unit. Regular assisted living for two people is going to be $6,000 a month. For one person, $5,000 to $6,000 a month. For a one bedroom, for a two bedroom, all of that stuff costs more money. So for assisted living, you're looking at $5,000 to $6,000 to $7,000 a month. For memory care, which is in a locked unit, has special staffing, and mom can't walk out the door, you're looking at a minimum of $6,000 to $8,000 a month. So on the front page of my handout, when I talk to people, when they come to my workshop, there's two questions on the front page of my handout. Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? So who's going to take care of you? Is it going to be your spouse, your daughter, your best friend, your cousin, your Aunt Tilly, your whoever it is? Who's it going to be? And then how are you going to pay for it? If your daughter's not moving in for free to take care of you, or you're not moving into your daughter's house for free to take care of you, and then you better have a care contract in place, then who's going to pay for it? And who do you want to take care of you? When you begin to look at someone who's becoming frail, if they can't stay at home, what's your option? Have you identified your alternate? That's what I do, folks, and what I've been doing for 35 years and been talking about for over 20 years here on KFBK is who's going to take care of me and how are we going to pay for it and what are my options going to be? Because otherwise, people fall victim to the myth and to the lies. A lot of the lies perpetrated by facilities. In the last week, I've had three facilities in three different places lie to my clients. Not misinformed, just flat lie. And when I sent them back with the supporting regulations, the facilities were flabbergasted as to how they got those. One of the most famous right now is we don't have any long-term care beds. That's a lie. We only have rehab beds. That's a lie. Unless they're a distinct part facility, and that's rare. You have to private pay. You only have 20 days. Medicare is only going to pay for 20 days. No, it's not. Medicare is only going to pay for 30 days. No, it's not. Medicare is not going to pay at all. Why? Well, I didn't know about admission versus observation, and then I found out Medicare wouldn't pay for my rehab. Really? You didn't know about rehab admission versus, you didn't know about all this? That's how we become victims of all of this. That's why people, because they hear, you're going to lose your house, so Medi-Cal must be out, you're going to lose your, no, you're not. I've never had a client in 30 years of doing this lose a house. I've never had a client suffer an estate recovery. Well, you have to put your house in your kids' names. If you do, you're an idiot. No competent person would tell you to do that. I've had attorneys tell people you have to get a divorce. No, you don't. That would be one of the dumbest things you could ever do is get a divorce. Unless you just don't like each other anymore. I've heard people say you have to spend down. I've heard, that's, by the way, a lie. I've heard people say you can only have $2,000. That's a lie. I've heard people say you can only have $120,000. That's a lie. It's simply not true. All the things I just said aren't true. Well, you can't just give it all to your kids. Well, that might work, but it's really stupid, and it might not work for Medi-Cal, depending on how you did it, and you might have created a serious tax problem. And other problems. There's a lot of Job's advisors out there. Like I said, at random during the week, I go out to different websites. I just Google search, and I find stuff, and I read it, and I just want to scream because there's people out there giving all of this advice that I just told you is a myth. They're giving it as gospel. I went to 8 websites last week, and 4 of them were talking about Medi-Cal recovery from trusts. There is no Medi-Cal recovery from trust if it's done correctly. But the website said so. And by the way, they were all attorneys. So just because you've heard something, just because over the back fence you talked to somebody, just because you doesn't mean that it's true. If the goal is independence, where should we be? How do we find the best? How do we find the best nursing homes? How do we find the best assisted living? How do we find the best boarding cares? How do we find the best caregivers? How do we make sure mom or dad has the help that they need? Sometimes, who am I trying to get help for? Dad has dementia. Mom hasn't slept in 3 weeks. Who am I trying to get help for? Mom, did you know there's something called respite care? Where a caregiver comes in for the weekend to take care of dad and mom goes to an apartment in an assisted living facility and gets the chance to be with some people and sleep for 3 days? Did you know that? Did you know there's something called PACE, Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, which is a Medi-Cal program that will help pay for adult daycare for people with Alzheimer's? Did you know that? Did you know there's something called IHSS that in some cases will help pay for a caregiver to come into the house? Did you know that? There's lots of stuff that's available. The waiver program for assisted living. The use of care contracts. There's lots of things that are available if people will begin to take the possibility in their family or a loved one seriously. If it remains an impossibility, then there's nothing I can offer. One of the things I talk about a lot is the difference between denial and delusion. Denial is there's no snake in the room. Old age, and in this case, the snake is old age and frailty. There's no snake in the room. I'm fine. Mom's fine. Everybody's fine. How dare you? We're all fine. And in many cases, they're not. But that's denial. Delusion is there's a snake in the room, but it won't bite me. And I see a lot of people who are deluded about what's going on in their family. And all of this I'm talking about is assuming a healthy family. What if there's a disconnected family? What if everybody, there's 3 kids and 2 of them think one thing should happen with mom and one of them thinks, nah, I don't want that now because of guilt, because of the 900-pound gorilla, or they want a bigger cut of the money. No, I don't think we should do that with mom. I don't think we should spend money on mom's care. Let's just leave mom at home. She's okay. We'll take her car away from me and from her, and she'll be okay. Or a split family. A blended family. We got his kids, her kids, their kids. His kids don't like her kids. She doesn't like his kids. They don't like their own kids. Whatever it is. But all of a sudden, we have a conflict. Well, Bob, conflict, you know, when there's a conflict, it draws families together. Every psychologist and psychiatrist you'll ever talk to will tell you that's not true. Whatever dynamic exists in the family will simply be amplified by this. If a family is generally close, they'll probably be brought closer together. If the family is generally dysfunctional, they will become completely dysfunctional. I spend a lot of time working with families. In fact, I have a white paper It's available on my website if you're a member, called How to Hold a Family Conference. I'm a big fan of families coming in. Kids, mom and dad when possible. In fact, after I record this show, I'm going to go back to the office and I'm going to meet with a family because one of the parents is beginning to lose it. And they're looking for answers on how to handle all this and how to plan for it and make sure that everybody can stay as independent as possible and that we can always stay in charge of the two questions. Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? Well, Bob, I've taken care of all that. I have a will. I don't care. Your will is of no value to me. Why? Wills only go into effect when you're what? Dead. Well, my people aren't dead. I don't care about your will. Well, I have a trust. Good. What does it say? Well, it says that when Harvey and I are dead, it goes to our kids. I don't care. You're dead. I don't care. So it's an avoid probate trust. Yeah, it avoids probate. Well, what if the stroke fails? Well, what do you mean, what if the stroke fails? Well, what if it doesn't kill you? What if it just turns you into a vegetable for the rest of your life? What if you develop Parkinson's or dementia? By the way, there's 8 different kinds of dementia. So what if that happens to you and you're not dead? Well, I what do you mean? Well, what does the trust say about not dead? What does the trust say about mostly dead? What powers does it have? What powers doesn't it have? Does it take both of you to amend? Can one of you amend? Does it have the authority to deal with community property? Does it have the authority to deal with gifts? Does it have the authority to deal with IRAs in your power of attorney? Are the powers of attorney immediate or springing? You'll have to go look up those terms. I don't know all that stuff. Why not? Because nobody ever talked to me about that. Because when you went in and had your will and your trust drawn, what you talked about was dying. And in my world, nobody's dead. They might be dead in the future, but they're not dead now. The issues of frailty are different than the issues of dying. And that's what this show is all about, is navigating frailty. Dealing with as a family with what we do when we can't take care of this anymore ourselves. Now, you have the opportunity now, those of you at 7 o'clock who haven't heard my show before, you have the opportunity now and lack the excuse now because you can't say, well, I never heard this guy before. To make a difference in your family's life. Get in to see me. Get to a workshop. My next workshop is on the 9th of November. There aren't many left in this year. It's November the 9th. And get to that workshop. There's only 12 seats available. Only 12 seats. Because it's held in the conference room in my office. And that only holds. There's only 12 seats there. So it's 12 seats. So if you want to be a part of that on the 9th, if you want to start to make a difference in your family's life, then get there. If you have a more profound need, if you have a more urgent need, then call me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, and get in to see me. Consultation is free. Every year I think about changing that, and so far I haven't. But right now, the consultation is free. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I hope you all have a great day. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I hope you take the time to go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. I hope you take the time to go to my Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com/assetsandaging. And you'll find it. Watch the live videos there. Facebook Live. They're great. They really are good. You will learn a ton. I just did one yesterday. So you can scroll through my I think I probably have 8 or 10 of them on there now. Facebook Live. When you go to my website, assetsandaging.com, you can sign up to become a Prime member. And that entitles you to a whole other section of my website of videos and blogs and all kinds of stuff. It's really important and it's really valuable and people love it. I don't remember how much it is. It's not expensive. If you want to get a hold of my book, give me a call and I'll tell you how to get a hold of my book, Navigating Frailty. It's an important subject. I'm going to be here every week now, every Monday evening at 7 o'clock right here on KFBK. God willing, and the creek don't rise, as a good friend of mine used to say. And I'm just grateful every day to KFBK, to Karen Onstad, who's now retired, but a lot of people know who that is, and to others who have made all of this possible for me. To Jane Einhorn, who helped me get started 20-some years ago. So I am grateful to all of them. I am grateful to my the people that currently handle my account at KFBK. I'm not going to give out names because they're still there and I don't want them to be embarrassed. But they're terrific. I'm appreciative to all of them, especially Tom Romano, who's been doing my commercial spots for I don't know how long. But I'm just thankful to everybody at KFBK for allowing me the privilege and the opportunity to continue to do this. I don't know if for another 20 years, but certainly today. Thank you so much to all of them. And thank you to all of you listening. I'll be here again next time. Same time, same place, 7 o'clock, Sunday evenings, right here on KFBK. Check out my website, Assets and Aging, or go to Facebook/Assets and Aging and check out my Facebook page. I hope you all had a wonderful day, and I hope you have a great week at work or in retirement or playing golf or whatever you're doing. I'll see you here again next week. Bob Scrivano for Assets and Aging.